Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are talking about Eid al-Ghadir, the Eid of Wilaya. Assalamu alaikum and welcome, dear viewers, to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are here in the studio speaking with Sheikh Khur Shabiri from the United Kingdom. We're going to be talking about Eid al-Ghadir and the Eid of Wilaya. So, before we start that, our congratulations and salutations to all of you, wherever you are, upon this great event of Eid al-Ghadir. Let's go ahead, invite our guest and start the show. Sheikh Khur Shabiri, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah and congratulations to you and to all the viewers of this program today.
Jazakallah, Sheikh Khur Shabiri, again, thank you so much. We wanted to, you know, on this occasion of Eid al-Ghadir, to speak a little bit about Eid al-Ghadir, even though it is quite, well-renowned amongst Shia Muslims, but I believe amongst the Sunni Muslims, it isn't as bold. And so in this kind of a concept, we wanted to speak a little bit about Eid al-Ghadir, this Eid of Wilaya. And interestingly, there are some aspects of Eid al-Ghadir that even the Shia Muslims don't fully well know. So if you could just, you know, tell us a little bit about Eid al-Ghadir, and then we will continue from there, inshallah, in the name of Allah.
Right. First of all, as you said, that it's not known within our Sunni school of thought, but about that, I would say that our Sunni scholars, they have spoken about Eid al-Ghadir, and recently, you know, very well-known and renowned scholars of Pakistan, Maulana Tariq Jamil, he had addressed about Eid al-Ghadir, and even the hadith that is about Eid al-Ghadir, he spoke about that. Maulana Sheikh Tahir al-Qadri, he speaks in length about Eid al-Ghadir, and he has a booklet about Eid al-Ghadir as well, about the event of Ghadir.
And these are all contemporary scholars of the Ahlul Sunnah?
Oh yes, of course, they are very renowned scholars, internationally renowned scholars. So their speeches are on the YouTube. Anybody would like to look at that, they would be able to look at that as well. When you look at Eid al-Ghadir, of course, it has a historical background and also Quranic verses about that as well. From Surah Mubarakah, Maida, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the Prophet, peace be upon him, saying, Ya ayyuhar rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayk min rabbik, fa illam taf'al, fa ma balligh risalata, wallahu ya'asimuha minan nas. And very interestingly, our scholars, they said the terminologies that are being used in this verse of Surah Maida, that is 67 number of Surah Maida, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have never addressed the Prophet, peace be upon him, with those terminologies.
Wow, interesting.
So in Quran, only two places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the Prophet by saying, Ya ayyuhar rasul. Although, you know, the
Very direct and
position of the Prophet, peace be upon him, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Taha, Yasin, Muzzammil, Muddathir, or Ya ayyuhan nabi. So Allah never speaks, addressing that you are the messenger.
In this matter,
because it was very important matter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet, peace be upon him, Ya ayyuhar rasul, or the one who is a messenger. Then balligh is the term that you will not find in Quran anywhere.
If I add to the Ya ayyuhar rasul, it's interesting because it seems like when it's being said, you know, O messenger, it's showing that this is not from him, you know, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That as a messenger, we are telling you to convey this.
You have conveyed this. So he declares actually position of the Prophet, peace be upon him, that you are messenger and you have to deliver this message.
Mashallah. You're speaking about balligh.
Yes, balligh, it is used only once in Quran and that has been used in this verse. It's never been used in Quran.
Mashallah.
Balligh ma unzila ilayki min rabbik. Also these words are also being used once in Quran. Ma unzila ilayki min rabbik. Whatever is being revealed from your Lord towards you. Then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that wa illam taf'al, if you don't do that, if you don't deliver this message, فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَةً. This has also never been said. It's a kind of threat to the Prophet, peace be upon him, that Allah says that if you don't deliver this message, That means you have done nothing
right
in your prophecy.
Right. It's a huge statement.
It's a huge statement. This is threat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's kind of tahdeed. And Holy Prophet was not being threatened by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means if we say that prophethood of Prophet, peace be upon him, is one side.
Yes.
And this message is another hand. That if we look, put it on the scale and we say this is the message and this is the prophethood of Prophet, peace be upon him. They are both equal. This is very important
message. It's very important. Yeah.
It's very important.
It's interesting. Sometimes, unfortunately, some of the brothers out there, they take this, they explain it that this means the fiqhi ahkam that are being given at this point in time. And so based upon what we just said, is this seriousness of this verse that, your whole risala is of no use if you don't give this message. It really doesn't make sense that it's on some simple fiqhi ahkam and sharia rulings.
Yes, it can't be a fiqhi hukum.
Yes.
Because there are many rules are being sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and he never speaks in this language.
Yeah, in this language.
That
yeah.
language is a completely different language. Mm. That means it's a very important matter.
Right.
It's not a matter of some of the laws, for example, not drinking or not eating something or eating a maitha. That has been said before that, the verses about that.
Yes.
And on the other hand, our scholars, they have declared that this verse has been revealed after Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was leaving from the final Hajj. Sometimes there is a misconception that maybe Prophet, peace be upon him, had many Hajj in his life.
Right.
And this was final Hajj.
Right.
This is not true. Holy Prophet had only one Hajj.
And it was this Hajj.
Yes, that was Hajj. Although that was the final Hajj of his life. Because after that, after a year or so,
this is interesting.
Peace be upon him had passed away. And when Prophet, peace be upon him, was leaving for Hajj, he announced within the Muslim world that I'm going for Hajj and everybody has to go in this Hajj. And with Prophet, peace be upon him, all the companions, they have been in the company of the Prophet.
Yes.
And all Ahlul Bayt, they will be in the company of Prophet, peace be upon him. So that is very significant about this Hajj. And it's narrated that Amirul Mu'mineen was in Yemen when Prophet, peace be upon him, was leaving. And Holy Prophet sent a message to Amirul Mu'mineen to Yemen that you need to be joining
this Hajj caravan.
This Hajj caravan as well. And Amirul Mu'mineen came with, of course, a large number of people from Yemen. And he took his Qurbani with him. And then he joins with the Prophet, peace be upon him. So when this Hajj was ending, and Prophet, peace be upon him, was moving from Mecca towards Medina, and he reaches to a point that was a lake or a pond that was called Ghadir. And before he reaches to this point, there this verse was revealed to the Prophet, peace be upon him. And immediately after Prophet receives this message, he asks his companion to stop. And we have to arrange a pulpit. And we need to ask people, those who already have gone further, to come back. And those who are behind, we have to wait for them that they can join with us. And, you know, it is narrated that it was almost mid of the day when Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was organizing or making this pulpit. And this pulpit is very interesting. Pulpit as well. It's been saddles of the camel that were taken and placed as to be the pulpit. And this pulpit is also a very significant within the history. We don't have kind,
this kind of pulpit
that
pulpit,
has been made by the Prophet or anybody else. So he makes that pulpit, and after that, Holy Prophet goes. He performed Zuhr and Asr prayer. And after Zuhr and Asr prayer, he goes on the minbar and pulpit, and he asked Amirul Mu'mineen to go with him as well. So both of them, they went to the pulpit. And servant of the Prophet, peace be upon him, on this pulpit of Ghadir,
mashallah,
is one of the famous sermon that is being actually narrated by Tawatur. That means a chain of narrators. Mm. They have narrated this hadith, and Sunni and Shia scholars.
Both, yes.
Mm. They are actually together about this narration that is a completely true narration.
Mm.
Although, you know, maybe sometimes some words of khutbah or sermon, they may differ.
Right.
But most of them, they have narrated about this khutbah, that this was final khutbah of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And this was the longer khutbah of the life of Prophet, peace be upon him.
This is a very interesting point. So, for example, people remember one phrase of this khutbah, which you'll bring up, so I won't bring up right now.
Yes.
But they only remember this one phrase of the khutbah, when in reality, as you said, this is one of the longer khutbahs of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
It's been said that probably Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, delivered like 45 minutes or more than that.
Yeah.
Because whenever he used to recite khutbah, he used to say khutbah very short. But this was completely out of tradition.
Yes.
That first time he has delivered the longer khutbah.
So it's everything is unique here in Ghadir. Yeah. Yes.
People, their feet are burning. It's mid of the day, and you know, if we just think of the summertime in Saudi Arabia,
right?
Nowadays it's called Saudi Arabia. At that time, of course, it wasn't Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, it was Hijaz.
It was like Hijaz.
Makkah, Medina. Yeah.
And in that kind of the weather, while sun is heated sun, at that time, Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, is delivering the sermon, and there is no tree over there. There's no shadow.
Right.
People are trying to have their amama or something like that on their head so they can keep it covered. And Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, when he has delivered this khutbah, nowadays even our scholars and ahadith of Ahlul Bayt al-Musalam, that this khutbah needs to be recited on the day of Ghadir. It's highly recommended.
Right.
Unfortunately, our scholars, what they do is that when they go to the member, they speak about various things, right? But they don't speak about their khutbah. Alhamdulillah, it is translated in Urdu, in English, in various languages nowadays. And I would like to really recommend our viewers that if they can find that out and read that khutbah, because this khutbah has various important aspects.
Right, right.
And one of the most important aspects is speaking about Ahlul Bayt al-Musalam.
Yes.
So he has not only said one phrase about Amirul Mu'mineen. This khutbah has lengthy fadail of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam.
Wow, mashallah.
This is khutbah where Prophet peace be upon him has said that Matalu Ahlul Bayti kamatali safina de Noor. The example of my Ahlul Bayt is like
the ship of Prophet
Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, ark of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam,
which is salvation, prosperity, saadat.
And then the Holy Prophet reaches up to the point where he addresses people saying that, O people, alastu awla min anfusikum. Don't you believe that I am the preferred and I have
priority,
more priority than everybody else,
than your own selves.
And everybody said Bala, Ya Rasulullah.
Of
that
course.
We accept. Of
without
course.
A doubt.
This is true, that you have all authorities. So, Aula, when it's been said, it's been said in the content that Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, wanted to take authority of the people in his hands before he delivers that important message. So, he took agreement. From everyone.
That he is the authority.
He is authority as well.
Yeah, he is.
And when he took that authority in his hands, that was the time that he holds the hands of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam. And it is said that when he started raising Amirul Mu'mineen in his hands, so it was like that his feet were being raised from the earth, from the floor.
MashaAllah.
And that is where he said that, Man kuntu mawlahu. Fahada Ali ibn Mawla.
Yes.
Whosoever I am the master, Ali ibn Abi Talib is the master for them.
Yes.
So we need to understand the concept of wilayat from this content that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, has taken authority and now he wants to deliver this authority.
Yes.
Or he wants to transfer that authority.
Right.
So what we can say that Ghadir is actually the day when Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, has officially transferred his authority of being the master within the people, because that was the final year of the Prophet, peace be upon him.
Right, right. And this is also why we call it the Eid of Wilaya, right? Is because this Wilaya, this is being transferred now to the successor. I mean, at least the successor is being appointed.
Yes.
You know? Yes.
So Holy Prophet has various types of the positions. For example, he is Prophet, he is Messenger, and he is Mawla.
Yes.
Prophet did not ask the people that, am I the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No.
Yeah.
He did not say, that, am I Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. He said, am I Mawla for you? Do you accept me the authority? And that is what he transferred. That means it was actually the time when Holy Prophet was saying that, me as a Prophet, I'm leaving this world. Me as a Messenger, I'm leaving this world.
Yes.
I am Khatamun Nabiyyin.
Yes.
I'm final of the Prophets, Khatamul Mursaleen. I'm the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But imamat, there is an authority that I have to establish the wilayat within the community and to lead the world. That authority is going to be remaining.
Of course.
So one of the position of the Prophet, peace be upon him, will continue after the life of Prophet.
Which is this imamat.
Which is the imamat, yes.
And it is this imamat which holds the wilayat, of course, which is sourced in the Messenger and, of course, which is sourced in the wilayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, because, you know, in other verses of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that Allah is wali and his messenger. And anybody, everybody who is going to give charity while being in the ruku.
Yes.
So over there, wilayat has been actually mentioned into three positions. And over there also, of course, mistaq, an image of that verse is Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salatu
wasalam. Yes, and this too among both the Shias and the Sunni scholars.
Yes, they also say that this has been accepted by Sunni scholars as well. And it's directed that when the Prophet, peace be upon him, had announced and he completed the khutbah, and he asked the people that now you have to give allegiance to Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salatu wasalam.
This is really amazing, where it you know, you have the verse of the Quran, then you have the conditions of what's happening, the heat and the pulpit never seen before in that manner, right? And then the raising of Imam Ali alayhi salam by the Messenger, you know, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, of course, now you get to this point where he didn't just stop there. The khutbah was also very long, you know, so people were paying attention. Why, you know? And now you get to this point where this is not enough.
Yes.
Just your verbal acceptance of this is not enough. Now physically you have to
give allegiance.
Yeah, please continue.
As, you know, you give allegiance to the Prophet, peace be upon him. Now because wilayat is already transferred, position has been transferred. Now you have to give allegiance to Amir al-Mu'minin. And it's narrated that men, they used to put their hands on the hand of Amir al-Mu'minin.
Right.
And for women, also the arrangement was being made that they have to put the hands in the water. And Holy Amir al-Mu'minin used to put the hands in the water, where they used to have allegiance to the imam.
And again, showing how important that even women weren't exempt from this bayah and this paying of allegiance to Amir al-Mu'minin.
So that means both genders, they have this responsibility to accept and give allegiance to the imamat and wilayat. And very interestingly, that in this Surah Maida, again there are verses that are very interesting verses, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum.
Yes.
أَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ What it means that today we have perfected your religion.
Completed the religion, perfected the religion.
Perfected the religion.
Yeah, it has reached its kamal.
Yes. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي And we have completed all our blessings and bounties upon you.
MashaAllah,
وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ And we have chosen Islam as religion.
Yes.
First of all, it means that before Ghadir, Islam was not complete.
Sure.
So with this, the most important aspect within the life of Prophet, peace be upon him, no, Islam has become complete. Mm. So we need to find out what is something important.
That important, yes.
That important. Yeah. Yeah. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a message, he says that, وَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَةً. If you don't do that, you have not done anything from your prophethood. And when it's completed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَ. Today we have completed the religion. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. Although Prophet had many bounties.
So many blessings and bounties.
So many blessings. So his life is blessing. So he's rahmatul lil alameen. But for him, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, today we have completed all the bounties, it means that actually we guaranteed religion of Islam through the wilayat.
Yes.
And this system of establishment of Islam, we have completed all the bounties. That although Prophet, peace be upon him, may he leave this world, but still Islam is going to be guaranteed.
Yes. And I just want to add, you know, to your point here that, you know, of course Islam, because of this this transfer of wilaya to, you know, Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salam, right? Of course, this guarantees the religion, it protects the deen, it protects the ahkam and the ruh and the spirit, and I mean every aspect about Islam, right? Because if that guardianship wasn't there, then any gangster, any thug, any pseudo-scholar could come in, take the reins, and divert Islam to whatever direction they wanted.
That's why it's been guaranteed. And final point from this verse, what I want to mention, other day also I said about that a little bit, that was رَضِيْتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. We have chosen Islam as religion. So what this verse wants to say, that it wasn't chosen Islam before the day of Qadir, before this moment. Although prayer was there, Hajj was already performed, people were giving the charity,
fasting,
aspects of Islam were there. But this aspect, until it's not been announced, Islam has not been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
Islam was there at the time of Hazrat Ibrahim. It was there at the time of Hazrat Musa, at the time of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. All the prophets, of course, they had Islam.
It was Islam,
but now this is Islam that becomes comprehensive religion, a complete and comprehensive religion.
Yes.
Because that guarantees everything of Islam through the imamat and wilayat. Because leadership is there, so leadership is going to be taking care of everything, and that is why Islam is going to be one of the most chosen religion within
and
Islam.
Eternal and, and unchangeable. Mashallah.
Oh yes, it's not going to be. Yes.
So this wilaya, of course, very important. I want to kind of jump a little bit in and fast forward, right? So we have the 11 imams, you know, up to Imam Hasan al-Askari alayhi salam, with this wilaya. Right, and it continued down and then up to now to the 12th Imam, may Allah hasten his reappearance, Imam al-Mahdi, ajallahu ta'ala farajhu sharif. Right, now in his ghaiba, in his occultation, you know, and it's a question that comes up a lot, is this wilaya now completely limited to him, and there's no practical, you know, on the ground wilaya? I guess the question is, in the present day, where do we see this wilaya and this authority of Islam, if you will? I know it's a big question, but...
Yes. Okay, inshallah, I'll try that if I can briefly speak about that.
I know, I know that you had you had to go, so I apologize for the big question at the last moment.
No problem. It's really important subject. That's why I'm afraid that if I don't, you know, give that much importance to that, and
so we celebrate, and the reason I wanted to really bring it up, we celebrate, you know, Eid al-Ghadir, we can maybe even celebrate it as the day that Amir al-Mu'mineen got, you know, the wilaya, and he got the authority, and he got the, you know, Khilafat-e-Zahiri and Batini, the apparent hukumat, and the, right, and so we celebrate all these things. But then, for some reason, like many of the things,
I can understand, yes.
Like Imam Hussein, yes, alayhi salam, you spoke about in the last time, yes. We tend to leave these things 1,000 years course. Into the past.
Yes.
And it causes problems, and so that's why I yes. wanted to, in the name of Allah.
Thank you.
I apologize.
What I wanted to say that we need to see what is being transferred from the Prophet that, and what is that authority.
Sure.
That authority has various sections. One of that, of course, wilayat. It means that mastership upon whole universe.
Sure.
That means every single thing in this world. Prophet is authority.
Right.
He's authority over the angels. Right. That is why it's been said that when Jibreel used to sit in front of Prophet, peace be upon him, he used to sit just like a student.
MashaAllah. Mm.
Or just like a slave.
Mm. MashaAllah.
He used to give honor to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and all the angels.
Because of this wilayah.
Because of this wilayah. Mm. And even when the angel of death wanted to take the soul of Prophet, peace be upon him, at that time also he came asking Prophet, peace be upon him.
Permission.
Yes, because he has this authority. Until he does not give permission, he would not be able to do anything.
Mm.
So that is actually wilayah, that is wilayah takwini. That means a authority over the universe.
Yes.
Over the skies. And everything that we can think about that. Then there is a wilayah that is authority over the laws.
Yeah, the wilayah tashri'i.
Wilayah tashri'i. And legislations.
Mm.
This wilayah also is being given to the Prophet, peace be upon him. That he is the one, he is going to be actually
Implementing
the laws that are being sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although laws are being made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he was the implementation authority by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Within all these authorities of Prophet, peace be upon him, there is one authority that is called implementing the social justice within the society. That means making government and having the social system within Islam. That was authority also being given to the Prophet. And he transferred all types of the wilayah to the Amir al-Mu'mineen. Man kuntu maulahu, fahad aliyun maulahu. Whosoever I am master, and whatever, you know, mastership I have, it is going to be transferred. Now we need to see that sometimes there are misconceptions within the society. The people say that, are we making a 13th Imam, for example. Of course, Imams are only 12.
I'm sorry, a joke came to my mind. They say that if there was a 13th Imam, it would have been Hazrat Abul Fadl al-Abbas, alayhi salam. But go ahead.
If there was any, then Hazrat Abbas was,
Hazrat Abbas
of course, his authority. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, give us opportunity that we can understand the position of Hazrat Abbas, alayhi salatu wasalam. So when we...
Some people say we're trying to create a 13th Imam.
Yes, 13th Imam. So that's what I wanted to clear, that after Imamat of Hazrat Hujjat alayhi salatu wasalam, Imam Zaman alayhi salatu wasalam, Imam has given statements and he gave the principles after his time of occultation, when larger occultation started happening. So there is a system in his shorter occultation. What was the system at that time? Of course,
of
at that time also, he did not have a direct relation with the people. Imam never had a direct relation with the people.
Yes.
Only there were four representatives of Imam alayhi salam. That is a system of wilayat. And all of them, they are not from the progeny of Prophet, peace be upon him.
Interesting, yeah.
And all of them, they are shuyukh. That means maraji of that time. Or being given the authority of the wilayat. So that was the short regulation. After the time when Imam is starting the large regulation, then he said that نَحْنُ حُجَّةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرُوَاتُ حَدِيثِنَا حُجَّةُنَا عَلَيْكُمْ That we are authority from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, and we appoint an authority upon you that is authority of the scholars.
You
understand?
Yeah.
So this authority is being also transferred, as it's been transferred on the day of Ghadir. At the time of Imam Zaman alayhi salatu wasalam, he does not appoint anybody, the first single person has to be appointed to be a wali. But he said it is a general appointment. Mm. So there are two types of appointment that we have. One is individual appointment that was in the shorter time of occultation.
Which is a specific individual is being...
Yes.
Yes.
So that is individual appointment. Mm. But there is a general appointment, and that general appointment starts after the time when Imam has started the large occultation. In this large occultation, all the scholars, those who have that capability
and the criteria,
lead the Muslim Ummah, they have this authority. But if one of them, among the scholars, he stands up and takes the lead, and he starts implementing the laws of Islam, and if all the forces, they support him, and the public, they support him, he would become wali. So his authority is going to be implemented. And right. that is called Wilayat al-Faqih.
Which is the present-day model of Wilayat al-Faqih.
This is the model that Imam Khomeini, Rizwanullah Ta'ala Alayh, actually has presented from Islam. So that was not actually only concept of Imam Khomeini. That was concept that was being already within the fiqh, but not being emphasized much.
Right. And because of the conditions of the age, there was no appropriate place to emphasize it.
As I've said, that, you know, there were 1,000 years that Banu Umayyah and Banu Abbas were leading, and they were taking authority, and they did not allow Shias to speak about the Wilayat or Imamat of Aimma alayhim salam. Only at the time of Fatimis, a little bit of time was being there, but still we don't have that kind of condition. But at the time of Imam Khomeini, he realized that this is the great time that we have to come up and implement that Islamic system within the Muslim Ummah. And especially, he used to say that we don't have that capability that we can implement a wilayat within the universe. But we can implement within our region, in small part, wherever we can, we should be implementing that.
Right, mashallah.
So that was a key concept that Imam Khomeini, he never said that I'm an Imam and I'm going to be implementing the social justice within the universe. But he was saying that whatever capability we have, with this limited capability, I would be implementing Islam in my area.
And that too, because the people supported him, you know, right? So when you see the referendum that took place for the Islamic Republic, 98% of the population came and voted, you know, for this implementation of this system of wilaya and wilayat al-faqih as
So there are many conditions that are going to be said about the person who becomes in the position of wali al-faqih.
Right.
So he should be the personality that is jurist. Also, he should be basir. That means he has awareness about the Muslim Ummah and issues and the you know needs of Muslim Ummah. At the same time, he should be knowing about the social justice of Islam.
Right.
So with all these qualities.
Brave, courageous.
Brave and courageous. Those are the very important qualities of a leader. And with all these qualities, if somebody is going to take the lead and he asks people to support him and people also start supporting him, he would be going to be an authority. And he's going to be authority not only upon the public, but he's going to be authority over the scholars as and well. Mujtahideen as well. And that is accepted by Maraj and Mujtahideen today.
You know, Agha, it's really interesting here. So this seems to be the Wilayat al-Faqih that we see now, of course, that is being implemented in the Islamic Republic of Iran. This is a continuation of that same wilayat that you know was transferred in Ghadir.
Yes.
Right? I don't know if you'd like to comment on that. I know Imam Khomeini has said a few things around this aspect as well.
Yes, if we say that Ghadir is only the event that has been announced on the day of Ghadir and ends with the imamat of Imam Zaman alayhi salam, and until he does not come back, there's nothing to do with the wilayat, that means that is... some shortcomings within Islam that it does not have any system
For this time. And that is a flaw, exactly.
Yes, that is going to be a big flaw about Islam. But if we say that yes, Islam can be implemented in any time when there are all opportunities available, at that time Islam can be implemented.
Sure.
And if we have kind of leadership, and if we have the people, those who support him, it's going to be implemented. So it's actually continuation of imamat and wilayat, although one of the aspects of imamat and wilayat.
One of the aspects, yeah.
One of the aspects of because, you know, imam has authority to have miracles. Imam has authority over the skies. He has authority over the paradise. He has authority over the hell. And everything is under the authority of imam. But mujtahid and jurist, the one who becomes waliyyi faqih, he does not have those authorities.
Right.
Of course, she can be equal to Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. That is why if you listen to the leader and the statements that he made previously, that when people there started saying and comparing him with Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam,
he was very upset.
And he was very upset. He said that, how that is possible that you compare me with an Imam? I'm just the dust of the feet of Aimma alayhi salam. And that is completely true, because we don't compare with anybody, any of his scholar, with Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim. Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim have overwhelming authority, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this world, after the prophets, or maybe, you know, after the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Maybe their authority is overwhelming than rest of the prophets. So we can't compare. There's nobody is comparable with the
You know, what I always thought was very beautiful was that individuals and these great esteemed scholars of the past as well, and of course including Imam Khomeini and in the present day Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, these people are these beautiful manifestations of the Holy Quran and the Sunnah and the Seerah of the A'imma alayhim as-salam and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we don't ever compare them, you know. I think it's quite... it would be silly to compare them, but I think it's more beautiful that they are the manifestation of these teachings. If you wanted to see the teachings of the A'imma and the Qur'an and the Messenger, peace and blessings upon them all, then you look at these great scholars.
Nowadays, we don't see any imam.
Yeah, we don't.
We have read history.
Yeah.
And in all the ages, at the time of occultation of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, nobody has seen, maybe not, there are only... Very small number of people who have been able to see Imam, but they have not realized while they have seen Imam. And maybe after that, they have realized that this was actually meeting with Imam. So that is possible, but that is for only limited number of people. The rest of people, if they like to see an Imam, they have to see these scholars. Al-Ulama or Warathatul Anbiya. That scholars are actually heritors of the prophets. So if they are heritors of Prophet, that means if you like to see any Prophet nowadays, you need to see these scholars.
These righteous,
and especially
noble scholars.
The scholar that is taking all the authorities and taking all the challenges of the Muslim Ummah in his hands and facing those challenges. And he's like a radar in the Muslim Ummah, saving the Muslim Ummah in the world.
MashaAllah.
So he has that position, that is protected position, and this position is being really regarded by our great scholars like Hasan Zada Amuli. When he speaks about the leader, then he speaks very highly.
Yes.
Or maybe sometimes when they say salam to Ayatollah Sayyid Khamenei, then they say Assalamu alaikum Ibn Rasulullah. So those are terminologies that actually teaches us that nowadays, if we like to see anybody to be the authority and representing Imam of the age in this day nowadays, that is going to be the leader of the Muslim Ummah. He is the Wali al-Faqih. He becomes the image of Imam of the age. And our scholars, they say that, you know, he must be supported by the Imam from behind the scene.
Of course.
That is obvious.
It's obvious, yeah.
It's obvious today.
He's
after passing 40 years of Islamic revolution, you can see the stability, his popularity within the Muslim world. I would just like to say to the viewer that if you see that, for example, your alim stays in one city for maybe a few years, enough that he starts losing that popularity. But how come this personality, he has become popular day by day, not only in Islamic Republic of Iran, but in all
yeah,
over
in the
world.
Region and all over the world. Yeah.
And even
yeah.
Putin, you know, he's not a Muslim.
Yeah.
When he comes to see him, after meeting with him, he says, "Today I've met with the Messiah,
Mashallah.
Jesus."
Yeah, Sheikh Khurshabiri, I know you had to go, and we're gonna lose track of time and
thank
keep
you
on,
very much.
And you know, but we really appreciate you taking time out talking about this Eid al-Ghadir and Eid al-Hudaya.
May Allah bless you.
And I think this very beautiful point that we ended the show at, that if you want to see, you know, the manifestation and the image of prophets and the imams, that then, you know, this leader of the Muslim Ummah, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, may Allah protect him, is that living, breathing teaching
yes.
of Islam and truly the protector of the Muslims all across the world. We want to congratulate you
thank
on
you
this Eid
al-Adhir
and thank you for joining
and
us.
And we pray before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma ajjil li waliyyika al-faraj, because we need Islam to be implemented in all over the world.
Lahim.
And Imam Khamenei is going to be a corridor towards Inshallah. Imam of the age, inshallah.
Inshallah,
and he's going to be, you know, holding this flag and giving in the hands of Imam of the age, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And dear viewers, we want to thank you again and congratulations and salutations to you all upon this Eid al-Wilaya, Eid al-Ghadir, and that's all from us. Fi amanallah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.